Hey, everybody, this is Only Dad's Podcast. We're coming into you on a Wednesday, March 27th, about 1 p.m. Central Time. We're going to be going over a few topics. We're going to begin with the Baltimore vessel that hit the Francis Scott Bridge that collapsed in Baltimore. Harrowing scenes. We're going to get into Sean Holmes and the raids on his properties. And we're also going to end with a topic that we're going to discuss as we go. So without further ado, the first topic is kind of the topic that's been in the news over the past couple of days. Ricky, as you know, the vessel, the containment ship that was full of containers, we're talking massive ship, 100,000 tons, hit the Francis Scott Key Bridge and it collapsed. And I don't know if you watched a video of it, but I was looking at the video and I could see the lights of traffic going across the bridge. But like right before it hit, I didn't see any more lights. So I thought, okay, that's a good idea. And it came out later that the ship had warned the bridge officials to close the bridge, and they saved lives because they did close the bridge. And that's why I didn't see any more lights went down. So that was a pretty big deal, I think. So what are your thoughts?
I didn't see the video. I saw like the little baby clip of the moment where the ship itself, like the lights on the ship go off, and then that's all. So I didn't even see the impact. And I've seen stills, right? Like the still pictures of it, of the collapse. And it's crazy, but I didn't know that they had stopped traffic. I just figured that the ship was leaving at a certain time of day or at night, that maybe there just wasn't traffic. I thought it was maybe lucky, but you're saying that the captain or whoever was in control of the ship called the bridge authority, was like, hey dude, we got no power, shut this bitch down. And they did. So that's amazing. Yes. I haven't heard that, which means like there are things to focus on in this situation. Like, yeah, obviously there's bad stuff, but that is a great thing because that means that in the event of a disaster, like losing power, they knew their protocols, the bridge guys knew what to do, and you're 100% right, they saved lives. Because imagine that, but in a fucking car on the bridge, that is a night. That is literally a nightmare. You're on a fucking bridge and it collapses.
Yeah, well, you ever get that bridge fear phobia when you're always crossing? Like, what if it just falls and you just go and you're thinking, that's what happened. And that's insane.
I didn't know that they shut down the bridge. So that's amazing because that's like a win for sure. And I think that needs to be focused on just a little bit, that it could have been a lot worse. Obviously, it's terrible. Infrastructure is destroyed. But I think in total, it was six people. That's what I'm seeing. Six people got killed.
Yeah, six people. And those are workers on the bridge who were like Guatemala, Honduras, Mexican guy. There are six people who lost their lives and they're in a recovery operation. They still haven't recovered the bodies, but they're in recovery, no more search and rescue. And they're, I guess, you know, doing all they can do. But one of the bright lights that came out of this was the Biden administration already announced that the federal government's going to pay for the reconstruction of the bridge. And I think that's good for the people of Baltimore. And you think about, you know, what a bridge is rated. It's not rated to take a direct impact from a 100,000-ton vessel. That's not what it's built. It's only built to, you know, ferry people across that area of road. So I don't think in the future you're going to get, ever a 100,000-ton vessel-proof bridge. I think that's unrealistic. But it's good that it's going to be rebuilt, and they're probably going to move heaven and earth to get that done. So as soon as they clear it up and pull that ship out, get trade open back up, that's going to be good. I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, so there's obviously a lot of economic impact because if we remember, you know, ships – we don't think about it until something crazy happens. So remember, what was that ship called? Like the green something that was stuck in the Panama Canal or the Suez Canal? Like it was trying to like maneuver it and it ended up getting stuck.
Oh, yeah. I know what you're talking about. I remember that. It shut down for a while. Really long time. I think it might have been the Panama Canal.
Yeah. And then, I think that was the Panama Canal. And then in the Suez Canal, the conflict of Israel in the Red Sea, you know, trying to make sure that the pirates and the nefarious actors over there aren't interfering with the trade routes. So Yeah, it's a very modern world, but like we still have to move things on water. A lot of trade happens that way. And so it's a big deal. And for a port that's like one of the busiest in the country, to shut down, that's a big deal. What's interesting to me is good thing for Biden to say, hey, like we'll pay for it. Because undoubtedly what's gonna happen is after the investigation, there's gonna be some form of who takes the blame, right? So whether it's, and it's not gonna be like the person driving the fucking ship, right? It's not gonna be the captain because he has no control over these things. He did his job, it sounds like, and he shut down the Port Authority and all that good stuff. What likely is gonna happen is they're gonna find out whether it was like a software failure, whether it was some hardware systems that weren't checked. Because before, imagine a plane, right? Before a plane, there's all these checks that you do and then you fly. And that happens all the time. And the ship's just like that. It's just so many things you have to account for. And so maybe there's going to be an update in their protocols, but probably what I'm thinking is one of these companies, I'm trying to understand, this says that the ship itself was operated and managed by a company called the Synergy Group. But also it was chartered by the shipping company Maersk. So it sounds like the people who own the ship is a Synergy company. And they got paid to move freight by Maersk. So Maersk probably isn't liable. It's more going to be this group called the Synergy Group, and they're going to be huge lawsuits coming in, right? Probably from the state of Baltimore or from the state of Maryland against that company. We're looking at settlements. We're looking at changes in law, probably in terms of the way they operate their ships in and out of ports. And there's so much laws that we don't even see. Just like there's lots of laws for planes coming in, right? Like you can only go so high whenever you're coming in at a busy like Atlanta, for example, right? The busiest airport in the world. There's so many rules that the pilots have to follow. So that to me is really interesting, and that's going to happen. Like there's going to be change in some way. We just probably won't see it, but
Yeah.
there will be something.
And most companies, they have this in their insurance policy, they have this thing called catastrophic insurance. And I think this falls under that category, catastrophic.
Absolutely.
If you look at the video, the ship lost power. And when the lights were flickering, like you were saying, the ship lost power twice. And that last time when it lost power, that's when they just kind of sailed into it and hit the ship. So that catastrophic insurance, most cities have them. City of Bryan has it.
Oh, okay, I didn't know that. I didn't know cities have them.
Yeah, City of Bryan has catastrophic insurance, and the we're but they're mainly self-funded. But for catastrophic reasons, there was one time the like here locally, someone I guess emptied out part of the barbecue pit in the trash, and the trash guy picked it up unbeknownst to him, and then parked a big ass trash truck in the yard where all the other trash trucks are, and overnight it ex
Oh,
that
wow.
caught fire and
Yeah.
it exploded, and it was like a chain reaction of and those machines are millions of dollars, like a $1 million truck. And so that was one of the things that the city looked into at getting in. So yeah, but that's our first topic. The next topic, Ricky, want to talk about it is P. Diddy. My understanding, I don't know too much about it, but he was implicated in sex trafficking, and because of that, his two of his properties were raided by Homeland Security in conjunction with local law enforcement. So that's crazy, because before we're talking about you, I know you mentioned the Cat Williams interview, so kind of go tuck us into that.
So this is cool. Not that the fucking stuff is cool, but it's interesting because it goes a long time ago. If you're our age, right, we remember when Biggie and Tupac were beefing, right? West Coast, East Coast, and then Tupac got shot, and then Biggie died, and then it just went away, right? Everybody was trying to look for it, and then recently, I want to say like within the last year, there were some rumors, right? Some rumors saying that hey. I think it was a guy that came out. It was like not a whistleblower, but like a I don't know, like an informant, I guess. But an individual came forward and said, "Hey, I got proof that it was Diddy. That Puff Daddy was the one that called the hit on Tupac. I was the one that pulled the trigger," something along those lines. And then it kind of died, right? Like it was big news. It was like, "Whoa!" After all these years, we find out who killed Tupac, and then people are investigating.
I remember Eminem said in that cipher at the end of his, he's like, Diddy killed Tupac.
Yeah, and this is crazy because you got to imagine, much like the elites of Hollywood, right? Everybody knew that what's his name, Weinstein, right? Like he was just like this crazy, pervert kind of sexual abuser kind of guy. Everybody kind of knew that, and then no one said anything. And you know, I have to imagine that the hip hop game is something similar. And so all these little breadcrumbs, you kind of piece it together. And then recently, Cat Williams, you know, he was like probably one of the, if not the most famous comedians in the world at the time. And then something weird happened, and then people started being like, oh, he's crazy. Like, he lost his mind. And then he started doing a circulation of podcasts. He went on, God, who's the Shanahan, right? Mike Shanahan?
He went on Shannon Sharpe's Club Shay
Shannon Sharp,
Shay's
that's his name.
podcast.
Yeah. And in that podcast, he was just going off, right? He was just saying all kinds of stuff, like this and that. But one of the things he's talked about was Puff Daddy. He says, I've turned down $50 million 4 times for my quote unquote virgin hole, is what he said, right? Those are his words. And then he said, because Puff Daddy wants to party and you got to tell him no. And that's just wild to me, right? Like, because and then like immediately afterwards, he's like, they can't touch me because I know all the secrets. I kept receipts. They can't touch me because they know what I'm saying is true, right? And then he went on to the Joe Rogan podcast and said something similar. And then I don't know if you remember, but there was a this weird conspiracy theory about like African Americans in Hollywood, that once they reach a certain like level of like popularity, that the Hollywood elites will put them in a dress. And that's their sign to say like they're in a club or something like that. But anyway, so he started talking about all these like kind of underground things that he didn't want to be a part of. And he was saying, you know, Puff Daddy was in that group, in that mix. And so it was just all this hearsay, right? All this like crazy shit about Puff Daddy. And then there was his ex-girlfriend and a couple of other ex-girlfriends were saying that he was sexually abusive, that he would you know, do you know XYZ, all these terrible things, right? And then they began to investigate him, and it sounds like they began to build a case, honestly. And then they after I would imagine after they have enough to build a case and prosecute him, then that's whenever the Homeland Security goes in and raids his houses. And he left. He fled the country. He went to somewhere in the Caribbean, Cape Canaveral, I think. But his private plane left, you know, moments before his houses were raided.
Yeah, and that's and you think about that. That's insane. You didn't. This guy's a rapper. It just so happens that after the Cat Williams interview, Cat Williams onto some things, and it all has to do with sex trafficking. And that's a little insane. But and this was in Los Angeles, his Los Angeles mansion in the Homie Hills area near Bel-Air and Beverly Hills, where his Miami Beach home is located on the exclusive Star Island. And the raids are a connection with the federal sex traffic investigation. So it remains to be seen. We'll keep you guys updated. Ricky, what's our last topic?
Okay, so if you follow the podcast, you know that we like to keep track of cryptocurrency, right? Like it's a new exciting thing. And by new, I mean like, you know, the last, you know, 5 to 10 years really it exploded. And you know, it's pretty volatile, right? It's very new, very unregulated. You know, we had the Sam Bankman-Fried got arrested for his misleading the shareholders and the crypto scam. But all this to say that it's very lucrative, right? Lots of money in it. Cryptocurrency right now has like a $1.5 trillion market cap. So that's how much money is in crypto. And what a lot of people do, there's two ways to make money off of it. You mine it by basically using your computer power to build blocks on
Blockchain. Yep.
blockchain, and you get rewarded by a fraction of a crypto. That's up to you. If you want to mine Bitcoin, you want to mine Dogecoin, whatever. And the other way to do it is to buy it, right? Which is what most people do. They use apps like Robinhood or Coinbase. They buy some cryptocurrency and they hold on to it, and then they sell it when it's more valuable, right? Much like a stock. And so in 21, right, 2021, crypto had a boom. It was April of 2021, and we were tracking the Dogecoin price pretty high, and we were talking about it here on the podcast, you know, diamond hands to the moon. And Dogecoin specifically had, you know, Elon Musk was behind it, and it was really popular, and it soared. It went up to 70 cents, and then it just steep drop off, you know, in the coming weeks after that. And then it has been hovering real low, and as has all crypto. It's kind of like a crypto winter is what it was called. And now we're seeing signs of life, right? Bitcoin had just hit an all-time high in ATH of $70,000 for one Bitcoin, where a few months ago, 6 or 7 months ago, it was at about I don't want to lie here, but I want to say it was like in the teens of thousands. So yeah, so I'm looking up here, and in September of last year, so not that long ago, it was at $26,000, and now it's trading at $68,000. So if you had $28,000 and you bought one Bitcoin, that same Bitcoin that you bought for $20,000 is now worth $40,000 more. But you know that it's crazy. And so for me personally, I've always had a thing for Dogecoin, right? And the reason is, and I'll say it here for everybody, the reason is, when I first came back from Afghanistan, my buddy was like, "Oh, I'm buying Dogecoin." He's like, "I'm gonna buy $1,000 of it and just fucking hold on to it." Well, he ended up selling it because he's an idiot. I did the same thing,
You
not
did
a
the
thousand
exact same
dollars,
thing. You,
yeah,
I
not a
didn't
thousand
know this, that
dollars.
you had bought early on. You had bought it very early on.
Wait,
And
I'm
then you just.
talking like 3 zeros, like 0004 cents or something. I had a 250,000 Dogecoins, okay? And then the divorce happened, and then I needed some extra scratch. So I pulled that money out, and I didn't really care because I was like, Dogecoin, what's it gonna happen? Well, that was
They go up to
fucking
80
fall.
cents. How much money would you have
I
at
don't want to think
70
about it.
cents?
Let's find out.
Let's find out. Let's do the
Okay,
numbers.
so I had 200,000, $250,000, 250 to 250,000 Dogecoin, and if I had sold at the moment it was trading at 70 cents, I'd have $175,000. But I
We don't want
didn't.
to talk about that. We won't talk about this
I sold it
$175,000.
like 7 months before it mooned, right? I had a
Yeah.
little bit, right? And right now I have 16,000 Dogecoins because, again, I'm not gonna fall for it. I'm not. And that's why it has a place in my heart because I'm just like, fuck. And so what I would recommend, if you're listening and you like cryptocurrency, I would say buy some fucking Dogecoins and just hold on to it because April, somewhere in mid-April, Bitcoin is what's called a halvening, the halvening, which is, you know, remember when I was talking about the mining, right? You get rewarded in the Bitcoin. Well, that is going to happen where the reward that miners get is going to get cut in half at some point in April, which means that it's going to decrease the supply of Bitcoin, which is going to increase the price of it. And that usually trickles into other cryptocurrencies, much like Doge and
Yeah,
Shiba
and
Inu.
then the other ones. That's right. And one of the ones I've been following is Shiba Inu, and I think Lucas got it. Luke got us into
Yes,
that,
he was Luke.
and it's up right now. It's up pretty well from when I got in, and I have millions of those because it's so cheap, and it's still very, very cheap. And if that does, I'm hoping that what Dogecoin did is what Shiba Inu does,
Yes.
and goes up. It just go up to a fucking penny. That would be insane.
Yes, it
So.
would.
That's kind of the ones I've looked at. I also got Doge, and I've literally just held on to this because I think you convinced me to get some more in. So I just got 10,000 Doge and just kind of holding it, see what happens. Like it's not gonna, if it hits like it hit 20 cents, I think I would like for it to hit. If it hits 70 cents, it hits 50 cents. But I know one thing I'm not gonna do is not sell like we did last time. We kind of missed the curve. We went up to 70, we should have sold. We were thinking it's gonna, hold on to a dollar, diamond hands, that kind of thing, but. There's so many wells that we don't know about
Yes.
that will just sell and then change it and it'll trigger a panic and then everybody starts selling. And then it just drops precipitously after that. So this is kind of cryptocurrency. We've been talking about in the podcast for a while now. So we're not just saying it to say it, but obviously this isn't financial advice, but this
Absolutely
is
not.
just, a bonus type situation. So guys, this is Only Dad's Podcast. We want to thank you for tuning in. If you have any tips, comments, or suggestions, reach out at onlydadspodcast@gmail.com. Ricky, last word, man.
Dogecoin is trading at 18 cents. All right. And it is March 27th, I believe. So, yeah, March 27th, 18 cents. Ladies and gentlemen, I would say get in $20, $40 and then just see what happens. Don't sell it. I would say you're not allowed to sell until at the earliest, May 1st. Let April happen. April is going to be crazy for crypto.